Welcome, everyone. Welcome to this week's edition of Inside Harvard Football. Inside Harvard Football, presented by The Coop, a Harvard tradition since 1882. And as always, we enjoy our time with Coach Andy Orrick as we take a look back to the final regular season non-conference game for the Crimson last week and a look ahead to league play returning at Princeton this week. And as I always say, the sweepstakes begins, the run to an Ivy League championship, which has even more impact this season with an automatic bid to the playoffs on the line. Coach, welcome, and I'm pleased to say again, another 1-0 Saturday.
Yep, 1-0, and you know, there's definitely things we need to clean up for that one, but you know, it's always a little easier to do that coming off a win.
Indeed the case, and it has been a pattern this year. You were able to jump early on Merrimack, and I know you came in and came out with great respect for that Merrimack defense, but important to be able to put that first drive in the end zone, and you did. It was an impressive 10-play, 88 yards, and Osborne, who's become a very important target and part of the passing game for Jaden Craig, he was on the other end of the touchdown pass and had four catches, and he almost hit the century mark. Had a couple of other big plays, one of 36 yards.
Yeah, he's been playing at a really high level. He's like the type of guy who he's always in the right spot. So it's like a comfort mm-hmm. play for a quarterback when you know he's going to run the route correctly and he's going to be where he's supposed to be. And because of that, he catches the ball well, and he's going to be productive the rest of the way for that reason. You know, going into that game, we weren't sure, you know, how we were going to match up with them because they are very good in the secondary and they play a lot of man coverage. And, you know, starting off with that first drive, like we were winning those matchups, and I felt good moving forward in that game, just seeing how our guys were winning the one-on-ones.
And won a big one-on-one on the next drive, about as good a throw as Jaden's made some good ones this year to Brady Blackburn. I guess the quote that I saw was Coach Murphy, your predecessor, who is now the color analyst with the ESPN Plus, said NFL throw, the way he dropped it in there to Blackburn on that 39-yard hookup, you can't do it any better.
Yeah, that was one of the big things that separated us from maybe some of the other opponents from Merrimack. You know, the combination of being able to win the one-on-one matchups at offensive skill and then the ball placement by Jaden. That's why, you know, they came into the game and their you know, pass defense was really, really good, highly rated. And we were able to, you know, put up a lot of yards on them just because the combination of guys being able to win their one-on-ones and Jaden, you know, accuracy on those one-on-one matchups throwing the ball.
And later on the following drive, another once again some chunk plays, splash plays, however you want to refer to it. Henry, yet another weapon, and Henry with his speed and a 42-yard play that he made there, and also went on the end around flanker around there with the 20-yard run. On that same drive with Blackburn. So again, Henry, just another club in the bag for you there, Coach.
Yeah, I'm so happy that he decided to come back and play football this last year. He's been a big weapon for us and just a really fun person to be around. Always happy, always smiling on his face, excited to be out there. You can tell he missed football just like the day-to-day operation of it, being around his teammates. So he's a great one to have back on the team, and I've been really enjoying just getting to know him better as the year's gone on.
No doubt you had a good sales pitch to the track man there, Coach. Kudos to you.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Yeah, money in the bank on that one. That was well played. I guess the only really disturbing thing that you could say about the drives there after that initial touchdown drive and Merrimack had come back and cut it 10-7 was the drives both stalled in the red zone, but fortunately you had Karen to convert on two occasions. But I'm sure you probably were not happy about knowing that the message has got to be getting seven and being consistent to get the six, the seven instead of the three.
Yeah, I mean you know, we watched basically the play that got us off schedule on every one of those drives. So the guys understand, like, it's just it's a lack of execution, whether it's a penalty or somebody not blocking who they're supposed to, that ultimately got us behind schedule. And, you know, you want to execute at a high level, you'll end up in the end zone. If you don't, like, you're putting yourself in harm's way. Now, it was nice that, you know, Kieran bailed us out and hit those field goals, but, you know, we're not going to be able to get away with scoring threes instead of sevens moving forward here.
Absolutely. We don't want to be making that trade-off down the second half, down the stretch here. And I just said, thinking about the broadcast, the DJ Gordon show, you go to another guy, and we've seen some, pardon the pun, some flashes of what he's capable of. But he really, it was all about him there with the two runs that he made. And, man, he runs hard. He just, guys taking him on one-on-one, it just doesn't happen. And they hit for 14 and then pinballed his way through on that 24-yard run for the touchdown. And those are a couple of highlight reel plays there.
Yeah, he doesn't run like a quarterback, does he? He's a physical runner. I mean, that touchdown was unbelievable. Like, literally, the guy's pulling on his face mask and DJ's dragging him into the end zone. That was a really big spark, him coming in there. And, you know, I was not surprised because that's what we saw throughout training camp. And maybe we've seen little bits of it, but that was probably the most consistent flashes from him in the game. So we're excited to have him continue to do those as we get to the back half here.
Yeah, he's our Crimson profile this week. And asked him about the offense. I wasn't surprised to talk about the offense that he did run in high school and run and pass, almost 5,000 yards his senior year. I mean, pick your poison. I think he said he ran for 2,500 or 26 or passed for 2,300, ran for 25. It was unbelievable. Almost 5,000 yards that he was responsible for, first in the state of Indiana.
Yeah, he was a great high school player. I remember when I got the job and I, you know, was pulling up the huddle links for all the committee guys, and I pulled his up. I was like, "Whoa, this kid is—he's special. He is special." So, it's fun watching him get to do it on Saturdays now. You know, last year he was getting used to being a college football player, and now he's helping us win games, which is great.
No question about that. Helped you win in a big way. Eight. Pretty efficient, 8 carries, and went over 100 yards for the first time with his overall body of work. 8 for 104, he averaged 13 yards, and the 2 touchdowns. Later on, the 19-yard touchdown run that concluded the scoring, that was the end of an 81-yard drive, in which he had a 30-yard run on that drive. And a little, they like to say, trickeration, you kind of save that one up to give it a try with the 2-point conversion, and not often you see the guy that makes the snap is the guy that's on the other end for the 2-point reception.
Yeah, if you remember last year, we pulled that out a couple times. And as Coach Pine refers to it, it's unstoppable. It's an unstoppable play. We do some overtime on Tuesdays at the end of practice just to stay on top of that. And we do 2-minute situations at the end of Wednesday practices. And the overtime, I always make sure we get 2-point plays, man. So that's one's been waiting to come out for a while here, and finally able to pull it out.
No doubt, and able to extend the lead at that point. And then once again, the final count, 31-7. Not often you can say a guy threw for over 300, but Jade maybe just a little off on his efficiency overall. There were a couple of balls that were catchable, but still you can't complain with 305 yards and the touchdown. Did have the one pick, but overall, when you're capable of making throws such as the one to Blackburn, you've got a guy that's obviously really special, as we've come to see week in and week out.
Yeah, Jaden wasn't necessarily happy with his performance because he's really hard on himself. You know, there were a couple drops in there that we got acknowledged on Sunday with the group. We got to make sure we don't have those. But yeah, Jaden, when you play a team that plays that much man, like, you have to go in the game knowing you're not going to be able to complete at the rate that you have up to that point of the year, just because there's so many balls that end up being 50-50 balls. It was a really good performance. I know he wants that interception back because that's escaping the pocket and throwing across his body. You shouldn't be doing that. He'll learn from it, and we'll be better off for it because of it.
No doubt. And I think your team would be better off to face a team, a scholarship program that has athletes and play man. I mean, that's only going to benefit you as you move on.
Exactly. That was a great challenge for our for our offense to get to go against those guys. And, I thought we performed well. And there's things we've got to be better at executing down the red zone to put them on points on the board moving forward that we're going to need to make sure that we continue to be 1-0.
Mm-hmm. No doubt. And defensively, I'm just so impressed. I think week in and week out with the depth factor and how it's come into play on the defense and how you've continued to be able to keep guys fresh and be able to run them in and run them out. I mean, Bartram, we're almost spoiled by him, 11 tackles. But, I mean, the job that you got from Benson with, Benson with 5 and a pick. Henderson with 6. He had a tackle for a loss. Donahoe is just a guy. Boy, has he been good for you with 7 tackles. Benefield with 9 tackles. I mean, spread around nicely in terms of support from a number of different areas.
Yeah, they're playing team defense. Guys are doing their job, and they're being put in positions to make plays because they do their job, and that's how it should be, where it's nice and spread out. That offense was a challenging offense because they were, essentially, a quarter of all their plays going into the game was designed quarterback runs. So when you do that, they can get ahead of you on the count because now they're using running back as an extra blocker. So that challenged you, with your run fits and making sure you have all the gaps accounted for. And they did a really good job, challenging us and putting us in tough positions, and our guys kept fighting. And we had a number of times where, they did get on the plus side of the field, and we battled, and we were able to get them off the field in the conversion downs, third and fourth down. And that's really, one of their strong suits going into the game, is we knew that they were very good on the conversion downs, meaning, third down, and then if they did go front and fourth down. So I was really happy with how the defense played.
No doubt about that. And also the work on the special teams, Karen, gaining confidence at 3 short field goals, but very efficient in converting all 3 of them.
Yes. I would be remiss if I didn't mention this because Coach Williams will appreciate this. That was not supposed to be a squib before halftime. That was a mishit ball by Kieran. But we're very blessed to have him because he can basically eliminate the kickoff return with his length strength. That is a weapon that moving forward here, kicking off from the 40, I sleep well on Friday nights because I don't have to necessarily worry about and really any kickoffs coming out just with how far he's kicking the ball.
It just seems like the only thing is how deep is it going to go? Is it, we kind of sit there, was it going to go halfway through the end zone? Is it going to go all the way through the end zone, 5, 7, 10 yards deep? It's pretty consistent. There's no doubt. No doubt about that. And coming out of the non-conference regular season, the perfect 3-0, now 5-0 overall. And the next challenge, it's a familiar one to you, and that is the Princeton Tigers. Uncharacteristically down season for them last year at 3-7. And a team that you handled at home, very emotional. And now I'm sure it'll be even more emotional for you. You're only human, Coach, to go down to Princeton. Certainly familiar territory for you. Team is 3-2 and 2-0 in the league, so sharing the top right now in the league, and played a very challenging non-conference schedule. You look up at the standings where Mercer is overall, where Lafayette is, two of the games that they lost, they've been tested. And had a prolific offensive day with similar to yourself, with a lot of weapons that they can look to against Brown and putting up 40.
Yeah, they, last year they had the down year. A huge part of it was the fact that they were turning the ball over quite a bit and not really creating a lot of takeaways. And sure enough, if you look at what they're doing this year, they're taking care of the ball better and they're creating takeaways because they've done a good job recruiting over the years. So it's not like there's not talent on that team. They've been playing 2 quarterbacks last week. Number 12, Kai Colon, is the one that played a lot of the snaps. He's been playing really well. They do a really good job on third down converting. And that was something that maybe last year they didn't do as well. And it stood on the tape just from when I was watching it. They got some really good players on defense. Their linebackers, number 2 and number 7, are really good players. And they have some older guys in the secondary, Nasir Hill, number 4. Who's a really good player. And so it's going to be a challenge for us. We got to make sure that we do what's gotten us here this far. And that's, being obsessed over the ball, executing and playing with violence and attacking.
And continuing to attack and protect and disrupt. And case in point with that Princeton game last week, much closer game with Brown until They broke it open with a couple of turnovers by Brown in the second half. Not a surprise.
Exactly. That's what I was, when I was watching the tape, I was like, no wonder this game got out of hand. It's exactly how it should go if you're creating takeaways.
No question. Well, because I say the Ivy League sweepstakes commences for the stretch run, and best of luck, Coach. And my final point, it was good to look down, as you had mentioned, at 12 o'clock start and see the kids running around the field.
Exactly. The best part of the entire thing was the ESPN Plus broadcast, and the back corner at the end when they're interviewing me, you could see Axel, my middle child, burying Ace into the ground. And my brother like zoomed in on it and sent it to me. It was the funniest thing I've ever seen. They had a ton of fun.
Beautiful. Working on his form tackling on his brother.
Exactly.
There you go. Well, Coach, all the best this week down to, once again, it'll be familiar territory. You'll know where the gate is, where the entrance is down at Princeton this week, and hopefully we'll be leaving there 1-0 once again.
That's right. Hope we get a lot of fans down there cheering us on. I got a strong contingent with my in-laws being from New Jersey. So come out and be loud, and let's get out of there 1-0.
Absolutely. Coach Andy Orrick joining us here, as always, getting us started on this week's edition of Inside Harvard Football, presented by the Harvard Coop, Harvard tradition since 1882. Welcome, everyone. Welcome back to this week's edition of Inside Harvard Football. Inside Harvard Football, presented by the Coop, a Harvard tradition since 1882. And our player profile this week, which is specially presented by the Harvard Federal Credit Union, is going to be a sophomore. Well, he's listed as a quarterback. All right, we'll call him a quarterback. We know better. Sophomore quarterback slash running back out of Indianapolis, Indiana. DJ, they should be calling him Flash, his father's nickname, DJ Gordon. Welcome to the show, DJ. Great to have you here with us.
Thank you so much, Brendan. Happy to be here.
Well, DJ, you came in last year, and as often is the case as a freshman, it's a learning experience. It's a learning year. Seldom, I think about the tenure of Coach Murphy, did freshmen have an opportunity to get on the field. And in your case, you were obviously very heavily recruited out of Indianapolis, and great accolades, great leadership, three-time captain of your high school team at Park Tudor High School, led the state in total yards, and was also a four-year starter. I mean, the accolades, obviously, captain of the track team, basketball, great athlete, and at the quarterback position. But sources tell me that the training camp this year, you had a conversation with Coach Orrick about maybe contributing at another position and maybe the possibility of contributing in a number of different ways. How did that all come about?
Yeah, so you know, we have a pretty good quarterback right now. And
He's not bad.
So, he's pretty good. And the probability of me playing was pretty low just because, you know, Jane was going to take it this year. And I had some good scrimmages, and the coaches knew I could run a little bit, so they were like, hey, DJ, we want to try you out at a few other spots and see how it goes. I'm not saying we're going to take quarterback just out the window, but just see what you can do. And I was like, you know what, like, if that's what the team needs, and that's the best for the team, because I'm a team guy first, and if that's what I need to do for the team to win, then 1,000%. So we had the conversation, and, you know, throughout fall camp, we were tweaking kind of what my role would be, and things like that. I was good just talking to Charles or Prima a little bit, because he kind of did something a little similar. I'm a little different than him, but kind of that whole conversation. And when the transition finally happened was maybe a week before the first game of the season. And, you know, I've been learning every single week, just getting better and better. The coaches have been doing a great job. Coach Falaki, the running back coach, has been doing a sensational job teaching me. Even the running backs have taken me under their wing and taught me the ways of the road, if you will. But it's good. And, you know, with my prior knowledge at quarterback already, it's helped me to for the learning curve not to be too steep, because I already have that quarterback background. I understand that whole aspect. So it's been fun. When coach said that, he said I could help the team. It wasn't really a question when I started thinking about it. It was like, if I can help the team win, then I am down for that 100%.
Well, it's working out well with your contributions to the team. And
And you mentioned about the running backs. You know, they say the room, the linebacker room, the running back room. That running back room has got some talent in it. I mean,
my goodness.
Wow. the depth at that position and the way that you guys have been able, I mean, it's fresh horses coming out of the stable ready to run with you guys and everybody bringing a little bit of something different to the table. Just to give us some insight about what the whole dynamic is with you working with the rest of the crew there.
Yeah, I mean, we have Xavier Bascon. I mean, he was preseason first team All-American, or first team All-Ivy. Great running back, such a good guy. He really helped take me under his wing. And he's so talented in the way he can catch routes and run and everything. And I've really learned a lot from him. We have Jordan, who also just came back this year, and he's been balling out. I mean, he had that 75-yard touchdown, Holy Cross. So fast, so quick. We have, we call him a Bay, Isaiah Bay. He's a 6'2", 250-pound running back we have. I mean, my goodness. What a he is a load to stop, but he's great, man. And he's really taking me under his wing as well, him being a senior and teaching me the ways. And we have Maddox Reed as well. He's in my grade. He is a sophomore, too. But he's doing well, too. And we have one freshman, Cole, who we're all coaching up to. And we have a really stacked running back room, and we can all do different things.
Yeah.
And we all complement each other really well, which is rare. So yeah, you can play any of us the whole game, and we're gonna have success. And coach doesn't have to worry about anything. So it's a blessing to be part of a running back group like that, who can, who everyone wants to see everyone else succeed, which is also rare in college football.
No question. The way you guys have been able to share the rock and responsibility. And with different, as you mentioned, with different skill sets that you guys, I mean, you got Jordan is a real, he's absolute home run guy anytime he touches it. A guy like Bullock in short yardage, you mentioned the X-Man there who proven from last year. I mean, it's just a great group. And indicative also, I got to get a comment from you, just the depth of this team just seems to be overwhelming at a number of different positions. And I look at the linebacker group from last year was pretty much decimated by departures. And look at what they've done this year for you.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. I mean, that just goes to show the leadership, not just from the coaching staff, but from the team as well. I've only been a part of, I guess this is my second Harvard year, or my second year being here, so I've only been a part of two Harvard teams. But the culture here is so sensational, man. And that starts with Ty as the captain, just, holding us all accountable and making it like we're family, and we want to see everyone do great, and there's no jealousy at all on this team. And with that culture, like, we coach up everyone so they can be the best that they can possibly be, and doing that, you're making the team better, and when the team gets better, then you should grow and grow together. And that's what we've done. I mean, since the off season, with the leaders we have here on the team, the coaches really telling that to us as well, just everyone's family. And with that culture, just breeds winning. Mm-hmm. And we've done well so far. We're living in the present moment and one game at a time. But it just goes to show just the leadership and the leaders we have on this team and how great they're all doing as well. That's what it speaks to. That just leads to the depth that we have.
No doubt. It's really come to the forefront here through the perfect run through the first half of the schedule. And
yes, sir.
It, once again, Indiana, you led the state in total yards. What about the offense? Did you do a lot of running? Was it more of a pass run option type of offense where you did a fair amount of running?
Yeah. So yeah, senior year of high school, man, that was fun. I remember I threw for like around 2,700 yards and I ran for about like 2,300 yards.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah. So It was pretty close together with both.
Wow.
I was slinging the rock, and, when I was able to run, I was able to do my thing. The linemen blocked for me well there in Park Tudor in Indianapolis, Indiana. So that's kind of what it looked like for me. We were a spread team, and we could air it out as well as NFA. When they brought the box in, we'd throw it deep, and when they brought their safeties back, we'd run it.
Mm-hmm.
And,
sure.
So that's kind of what we had in high school.
Yeah, that was obviously a great success. It sounds like you had you were masquerading as Lamar Jackson in the state of Indiana there,
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Exactly. My God, 2,700 through the air, 2,200 on the ground. That's prolific. And And also, you brought him up. You got a role model in terms of this kind of hybrid look. And I just got a feeling that that over the course of the second half of the year, my guess is, I say this tongue-in-cheek, is that there might be some packages where you're used maybe a little more creatively, kind of like Charles de Prima. Hint, hint. I could see, certainly could see that coming just because of the, and you got a great role model with de Prima and how valuable he was in that hybrid role.
For sure. And that's, I mean, that's really up to Coach Fine, the offensive coordinator.
Sure.
And I mean, he does so well and, in putting me in those positions and, you know, for whatever the team needs. And we did that one time in Holy Cross where I got lined up at quarterback and, but we'll see what Coach has for this back end of the season. But whatever he has, I trust him completely. And whatever he draws up, I'll do that to the best of my ability. So, we'll see. If it is, I'll definitely be excited for it and definitely be ready.
No question. You had really kind of a coming out against Stetson with the you had 11 for 50 against Stetson in the touchdown. And then 73 yards against Brown. You had a touchdown there. And then this week, I mean, talk about hitting for average this week. Made the most of getting the 8 touches, 104 yards, and just the 8 carries, and a couple of real highlight reel runs where the touchdown drive that was really, I said it was kind of, it was just the DJ Gordon show with the two runs that you put together, and you run hard and you seem to be able to pinball off the guys and really present a lot of problems as far as being able to take you down one on one.
Yes, sir. Appreciate that.
Yeah. And
That just speaks to the off-season training, man, and also the old line. I mean,
yeah.
If you go back and look at the tapes, you could drive a semi truck through those guys were blocking for me. So, I mean, they made it easy on me, man. And you know, once I get to the second level, that's just that's where the training comes in. But you know, I'm super blessed that guys give me this opportunity. And you know, when you have a team that are willing to block for you like my teammates are for me, man, it humbles you a lot. And you know, when you do get the praise, you know, the first thing I will do is just shout out the line, shout out also the receivers and just everyone who's out there blocking for me because they made it. They made the holes easy for me to cut in. And, for all the backs as well. Mm-hmm. So I have had some success, but, you know, I got to give credit where credit is due sometimes.
No question, as you freely did right there. And as far as the studies, I saw a reference. Sports lab is a concentration. Is that?
Oh.
Yeah. Well, just tell us a little bit about that and a little bit of insight about your academic interest now in your second year.
Yeah, for sure. So Harvard University Sports Lab, that's basically the sports management club here at Harvard University. And I have a few contacts in sports management just in Indiana and just throughout Boston and everywhere, really. And so I kind of knew that was something I really wanted to take advantage of, was those contacts and things at Harvard. And so I immediately looked my freshman year and I found Hustle, Harvard University Sports Lab.
Mm-hmm.
That's the sports management club here. And through then, I was a first-year representative as a freshman, and I've got promoted, I guess, if you will, this year for the club. And it's good. We have some big meetings coming up and meet some really high-profile people in the sports management world in the United States. So, that's been fun. I'm concentrating in psychology and economics, or secondary and economics, and that's going well, too. And I'm interested in real estate. And
okay.
Like, I know that those are very different realms, but when you're at a place like this,
blessed
opportunity that I can, you know, go into those different realms and see what everything has to offer. So that's kind of what I've been doing academically here at Harvard so far.
Yeah, absolutely. Taking advantage of, you know, well-rounded and versatile that you are academically also, not just on the field with your versatility, but being able to pursue and be able to just to gain knowledge in a number of different fields, different areas, you know, so important.
Yes, sir.
And the second one in your family to go to Harvard, I believe, your sister graduated a year ago?
Yeah, so my sister graduated. So when I was an incoming freshman, she just graduated. So I missed her by a year, unfortunately.
Okay.
But she is really interested in medicine, and she didn't play any sports here. She just strictly went for biology, and now she's at Johns Hopkins in grad school doing public health.
Uh-huh.
And she's trying to go to med school, and so she did the MCATs and all that.
Oh,
but she's doing everything. You know, she's living her life and super successful, and just you know, life after Harvard is great for her. So yeah, she's good, and I guess I followed in her footsteps in a way, and she helps me so much every day, just with advice on, you know, how to approach classes, how to approach relationships, how to approach everything here at Harvard, because, you know, she did it before me. It might be a little different because I am a student athlete, but she definitely gives me good advice.
Mm-hmm. Well, to have followed her and her having already had the knowing the value of the Harvard experience and Harvard education, which is really second to none. And also, true Renaissance man that we're talking to here in our Crimson Profile this week, you also have interest in theatrical arts and
yep.
singing.
Yes, sir.
I think you got a little in common with a guy that I have got to know, number 83. Are you guys maybe planning anything in the theatrical field?
Oh, are you talking about Christian DeMosu?
Oh, I certainly am talking about him, yes.
Yeah. Man, we will see what happens there.
Yeah.
But, no, I love music, and I was the lead in my musical my senior year of high school as well.
Wow.
So,
what was it?
Yeah, the musical was Mean Girls, and I was Aaron. I was Aaron in Mean Girls. Yeah, it was great. It was great. All my high school teammates came out and supported. But, I love Broadway in New York City and that whole aspect. You know, with football and school here, it's been a little tough to be able to kind of get into those realms here just because of how much time it would take. But I have, sang in the choir for my church here at Harvard. And, you know, and trying to continue to get into some type of choir or quartet or something that's not too much time. And eventually, you know, I might do a musical or something.
Oh.
And if I do, I'll definitely let you guys know.
Absolutely. I want to be first in line for that one, to check that out.
Yes, sir. Me and Christian DeRosa.
Absolutely. Co-starring. There you go.
There we go.
Well, I'll have to send you a video. My go-to song is Dead Flowers by the Rolling Stones, so I'll have to send you with me belting that out with my friends on guitar. So you'll have to give me a grade on that one. So I'll have to send that.
I have to send that. I got you. I'll let you know.
Yeah, Cambridge has talent. There you go.
There you go.
Okay. And last but not least, there's a football lineage in the family, and that of course is your dad. Me being a Notre Dame football fan, your father Darryl Flash Gordon, linebacker. On the illustrious 1988 Notre Dame National Championship team. And I'm sure that his mentoring and his tutelage in the sport of football was invaluable to you growing up, DJ.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, my father, he's really paved the way for me, and he's given me so much advice. Like, I can't even begin to talk about the things that he's done for me in my life, just apart from football as well.
Sure.
But when it relates to football specifically, you know, he did play at Notre Dame, so he understands it. You know, he's literally been in my exact shoes, going through the exact things, you know, the things I stressed about, the things I'm excited about, school, literally everything. He's been through it. So it's great to have someone like him in my corner who genuinely wants me to do well. And, you know, he gives me sensational advice every time I ask for it. And and him playing at Notre Dame, too, I was able to be around that, be around high-quality football. He coached me as well throughout middle school.
Mm-hmm.
He was a linebacker, so when I was in middle school, I played linebacker as well.
Oh, you did?
And
okay.
Quarterback. So yeah, he helped me through that, and that kind of helped me understand the game from both sides. But yeah, the things he's taught me have been invaluable. And throughout my college experience, I'm definitely going to keep going back to him. And he's going to, I'm sure, continue to have sensational answers to me.
No question. Well, and now with a rule change, you too can pursue a national championship.
Yes, sir. There you go.
Absolutely. You can. You can.
We can compare national championship rings.
Exactly. You could aspire to match your dad on that one. Great, great opportunity.
There you go.
Opportunity is knocking, DJ, and I know you're going to answer the door. There you go.
So, yes, sir.
Well, thanks very much. Great having you on, and having an opportunity to get to know you here this week with our Crimson Profile. And
yes, sir.
And big test this week with Princeton. I know you guys are preparing and. And Princeton will be now the Ivy League sweepstakes begins the second half of the year.
There we go. Thank you so much, Bernie. Appreciate it.
DJ Gordon, sophomore. I'm going to say quarterback, okay? Off the chart. Off the chart here.
All good.
Sophomore quarterback out of Indianapolis, Indiana. Our guest, our Crimson Profile this week on Inside Harvard Football, brought to you by the Harvard Coop, Harvard Tradition since 1882. and DJ brought to you by the Harvard Federal Credit Union.